Remain standing. Matthew 6, 31 to 34. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So yes, during this hour of divine service, I wish to present to you the words of Jesus that have molded my life. And I want to give witness to these words, to their veracity, to their truth. I know by experience what these words that we had for our scripture reading mean in living reality. Having been brought up, like all of us, in this uncertain age, ever since the First and the Second World War, the world is in a mad state. Our parents are post-traumatic stress disordered people. My father was, very badly so. He was in Hitler's army, of all places, and he ended up in Russian prison camp. And the aftermath of that was not pleasant for me to grow up in. But he did have a faith in God that helped us through. And at the age of 16, I had come to a point where I really believed in God fully. But I still had so much to learn. And the uncertainties that loomed up before me, I was searching. And I don't know whether any of you are here, maybe children, young people, you're still searching. What does this all mean? You know, you're being tossed around by circumstances and things are not making sense to you. I was growing up in that same kind of mind exercise. Every church says they're right. What makes mine right? That was a big question. And how can I find security in anything in the world today? I'm seeing such a mess. So yes, I was searching. I was looking for personal security. And I was told, Jesus is your personal security. Yes, I know about Jesus. I know about him. And it was not until I was about 16 that I began to see, oh, Jesus is very personal to me. But I was still, as I said, I was still in a state of difficulty to be able to find my way through these many thoughts, problems of mind. I needed Jesus to be practical for me, not just about him. I needed to see practical help in Jesus. Practical, something that makes sense. And so there came this beautiful statement that I read for our scripture reading, and by combing through the Bible, I found something here that really challenged me. And I just want to read the context of our scripture reading now. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. And there we read Matthew 6, verse 24. Let's read right through the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, 10 verses through to 34. This is what Jesus was saying. Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon means wealth, money. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat or food, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Now comes the criteria, now comes the important condition upon which you may have help from God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take, because of that, he says, therefore, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now that verse 33 is the key of understanding everything Jesus just said. You are to think in priority of God and his kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all those other things will be taken care of in your life. There it is. Verse 33 is the key to unlock what Jesus was meaning. And as I was reading that as a young person with my future in front of me, and then at the age of 21 when I became married, I had the responsibility of caring for a future family. And I was there, trembling. And I read this again, and now it really came home. And in my early years, I came to a decision. Yes, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make God's kingdom first in my life. And because there were many scriptures that I had read before that came into focus. And I just want to read them to you here in Proverbs, going to Proverbs 3. Reading there from verses 5 to 10, because these scriptures began to come into focus when it said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven." Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 10. Trust in the Lord. How much? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Right? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Can you see what's coming here? If you seek first God's kingdom, trust in that, and then in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. But how much are you to trust in the Lord? With all thine heart, not partially, not with some lukewarm mentality. Then it goes on, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Wow, your health is even going to be taken care of. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now here you have the conditions enlarged. In making God first in your life, it requires acknowledging him, trusting him, and to trust him, to let him direct your paths. Not to be wise in your own eyes. Fearing the Lord and departing from evil. That's what it means to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And then return to God that which he has given you, and he shall take care of you. Don't worry about anything. Just do that. There's another beautiful scripture that came flooding into my mind in Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14. And here it tells you something about the with all your heart, Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14. For I know, this is God speaking now to us, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. God, the God of the Bible, has thoughts for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken, listen unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me. How much? With all your heart, and I will be found of you. Can you see what Jesus was saying now? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. If you do this with all your heart, if you submit yourself, and that's what the Lord was talking to me. He was showing me this. It wasn't just a sort of a pie in the sky by and by. This was not just magic. This is intelligent, practical engagement with God. And if we turn also to Luke chapter 14, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 26 to 33. Luke 14, 26 onwards. Here Jesus said, Now, this is really serious, real serious material here to correctly understand what he is saying. He says, remember he said to the disciples, follow me? And they left their fishing nets. They made him first. They followed him. And here he says, if any man come after me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, we want to get that one very clear. What does he mean when he said that they hate not father, mother? Because it says in the Ten Commandments, you are to obey father and mother. You are to love them. So what is he meaning here? And we can read it there. Hate not by comparison. Hate not by comparison. That's what was meant. So in other words, he is saying that you've got to make me first. And then if you make me first, then your relationships with your father, mother, sister, brother, etc., will all be in its right setting. So unless you do that, unless you make the kingdom of heaven first, you cannot be my disciple. That's what he's saying. Verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You've got to follow my example, you see. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish? Lest haply, perhaps after he hath laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with the 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth condition of peace. So likewise, now comes the punchline. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So all these scriptures come into focus. Oh, I've got to make him first. And that means I've got to realize that if other people don't care about God, I do. And I'm going to follow what he says, even if they don't want to. I'm going to make him first. And there in Matthew is another identification point of the words of Jesus there in Matthew 5. And mark what I'm sharing with you here. This is all coming together for me as I was searching the practicalities of Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Making God first, making his righteousness first, hungering for it, yearning for it, making this your priority to really pursue what God has for you. And as I was reading all those statements, I was still trying to get my head around that. Oh. And it required quite a period of time to get it all together. Matthew, we read there, hungering and thirsting. Let's see, as we meditate on this, what does it mean to make God first in everything? We've read the Bible text. Now I meditated on it in this way. Here are the words of the book Maranatha, page 71, where the meditation is enlarged, where it talks about the text and then says, make God first in everything. This is the first great object. The first great object. The kingdom of heaven. The righteousness of Christ. other objects to be attained should be secondary to these. Secondary. In other words, what's your priority? What's your priority in life? If you don't make God your priority, then you start worrying. And you'll see here what the Lord has done for me as I share this with you. Another very beautiful quote from the same page, paragraph 6. There the words are repeated. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Make this first and last. Make this the kingdom of heaven, first and last. Seek most earnestly to know him. Do you know him? Do you really know God? Seek most earnestly to know him, whom to know aright, not just to know him, but to know it correctly, whom to know aright is life eternal. Christ and his righteousness is the salvation of the soul. So here we get it very clear that the kingdom of heaven needs to be the priority of my life. And the Lord was bringing that home to me. Another very powerful meditation I'm reading from Manuscript Releases, Volume 20, page 82. And here, paragraph 4. Here it is again. If we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the principles of righteousness would guide our lives. And self-seeking would find no place in our hearts. The desire to do our own will would be submerged in the desire to do God's will. Can you see the meaning of those words? Make the kingdom of heaven first. That's what it means. I repeat, self-seeking would find no place in my heart. The desire to do my own will would be submerged in the desire to do God's will. And one more quote for meditation to understand. I love this one in God's Amazing Grace, page 21, paragraph 4, where it says, Jesus, now this is interesting because it says, don't worry about food and clothing and so on. And it's, when you first read that, you might have thought, well, I do have to provide clothing, don't I? I have to work to earn my money, etc. Well, here is a very important clarification. Jesus does not release us from the necessity of effort, but he teaches that we are to make him first and last and best in everything. We are to engage in no business, follow no pursuit, seek no pleasure that would hinder the outworking of his righteousness in our character and life. Now, there it is. The most important thing is to develop in my character, his righteousness, his life. So whatever we do is to be done heartily as unto God, unto the Lord. And I learned that, you see, like all young people, I don't feel like doing this, and I had to work, and I was sick of bricklaying. And the Lord said, well, if you want to serve me, you better just get used to enjoying bricklaying. Yeah, I had to put an effort into it. And then when I started to really enjoy bricklaying, then I was called into the Lord's work. This is the point of what we're reading here, that we will do everything as unto God, to for his glory, for his kingdom and his way, and as we do that, then God will take care of us. God will take care of us. So this is what it means. This is what I discovered. Oh, right, now I know what it means. I'm making Jesus first in my life. He is worthwhile living for. And at the age of 21, that came home good and strong. With all that I had learned, it gradually came from the age of 16 to 21. And now I'm nearly 74. And I want to tell you, this is my testimony to you. What I've been reading to you is real. I know it by experience. It means to make God's thoughts and His ways the predominant control of your life. And if you would do that, God will take care of you. So, what assurance do we have here? What does it say? What does he say? If you make the kingdom of heaven first and his righteousness, what did he say? All these things that you have need of will be given you. You don't have to worry about, making sure that we've got enough food. This was big for me because I had a family of 7 children. How do I handle? And I was on a church income, which was half of what I earned when I was a bricklayer. Half. And 7 children. How can we make ends meet? I can tell you, if you do what God says, it works. It works. All these things will be added unto you. So yes, I had decided to make Jesus first and last and best in everything as we were reading that. And there's something now that the King David expressed, which again I resonate with, because he probably said that he died when he was 70. I'm 74 already. And what did he say? Let's go to Psalms. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verses 23 to 25. And together with him, I can say this with all assurance to anybody who is listening here. Psalm 37, verse 23 to 25. It says, "The steps of a man," and they supplied the word good, "the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." What do the steps of a good man mean? Delighting in God's way. So you've got to study God's way so you can delight in it. "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." I'm telling you, these words are true. You've got no idea what I've been through. I have fallen. Many times I have fallen. And the Lord picked me up again. That's why I have great compassion on people who fall, because I know God's way of dealing with people who fall, because that's how he dealt with me. "Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young." This is my words now too. "I have been young," like all of you, children, young people. "I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Here I stand before you." These words are true. They are my experience. What have I witnessed from the hand of the Lord that I want to read to you that you may also experience. And I'm reading it here again from that same page 21 of God's Amazing Grace. AG, page 21. And there we read from verse paragraph 5 and 6. Here is a beautiful, they are beautiful words, but you've got to know them by experience. Jesus, while he dwelt on earth, dignified life in all its details by keeping before men the glory of God and by subordinating everything to the will of his Father. That's what Jesus did. He's our example. What did he do? He submitted himself. He subordinated everything to the will of his Father. If we follow his example, his assurance to us is that all things needful in this life shall be added. Like the birds, like the grass, the flowers, it is all supplied. If we do what Jesus did, subordinating everything to the will of his Father. So following his example, his assurance to us is that all things needful in this life shall be added. Now think of this here, what I'm going to read now. And I can testify, it's beautiful. Poverty or wealth, sickness or health, simplicity or wisdom, all are provided for in the promise of his grace. So no matter how simple you think you may be, God will supply, I tell you, he will supply wisdom to you. And I can testify this. I'm standing here. Look, I was only a mediocre student at school. I wasn't a brilliant fellow at all. But what the Lord has done for me has given me something that those that I used to go to school with are not now where I am in security of faith. It's profound. So, simplicity or wisdom, God provides it all. Poverty or wealth, God provides it all. Sickness or health, I've been through sickness, and the Lord supplied recovery. Continually he does, even now at this age, continually. My mother died at 75. At 65, she had a massive heart attack. And I have the same danger. And the Lord has kept me through. I haven't had a massive heart attack at 65. And at 75, I'm thinking, well, I trust you, Lord. No worries. The Lord, in sickness or in health, he supplies. Beautiful. If you follow his counsel. And then it goes on to say, difficulties will be powerless to hinder him who is determined to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm here to tell you that's true. I've been through difficulties that looked like I'm engulfed in hopelessness. No. Difficulties will be powerless to hinder him who is determined to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Looking to Jesus, the believer will willingly brave contempt and derision. I know it. Some of you who know me and what people talk about me, there's contempt. But what did I read here? Derision and contempt are ineffective. Huh? Looking to Jesus, the believer will willingly brave contempt and derision. Willingly. Doesn't matter if that happens to you. And help and grace sufficient for every circumstance are promised by him whose word is truth. His everlasting arms encircle the soul that turns to him for aid. In his care we may rest safely, saying, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You know, it's beautiful when you read words and they are real to you. And I'm here at 74 years of age telling you these things I have decided at the age of 16 and to 21 and thereafter to pursue with God, and I'm here to tell you these words are true. So in conclusion now, let me share with you why it is so that God, in making God first and last and best and his kingdom first in your life, your priority, and with the whole heart, not half-heartedly, remember the thing that he has against the period of Laodicea people is that they are lukewarm. No, the lukewarm people are not going to be blessed like this. It's got to be with the whole heart. No reserve. So whatever you see God telling you, you submit to it like Jesus did. Follow his example. What was that? That you need not to take thought of any of your needs. You don't need to be concerned. Just do what he says. Just follow him. Make him first. And here is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. These are the words that we are to connect with what Jesus said. Don't worry about anything. Here it is, Philippians chapter 4. Come with me to Philippians chapter 4, reading verses 4 through to 7. You see, when you really do what Jesus says, then something happens inside of you. I tell you, I rejoice every day. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Why? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You see, moderation means I'm not the one who is a self-made man. No, no, no. I can't do it. I make a misery out of my life if I was left to myself. But here, let it, your moderation, and I'm letting the moderation of God be, of myself be made known to you, that the Lord is at hand in our life. So therefore, what Jesus said, don't take any thought. Be careful for nothing. You know, that almost seems like I'm presumptuous. That the feeling that I've had to battle with over the years, don't worry about anything. Everything's going to be all right. Wait a minute, I've got to deal with this. I've got to do that. I've got to put my effort into that. Yes, all right. Put your effort into it, but do what God says. And then you don't have to worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what will happen? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What will keep you? The peace of God that passes all understanding. And I tell you, it is not part of human understanding. I still look back at my situation and I go, how does that work out, Lord? I have such joy to see you at hand here. You are the one that gives me complete peace. And my mind, as it says there, the peace of God, will keep your hearts and minds. You won't go insane. You won't enter into dementia. At this age, many people end up in dementia. It will keep your mind. And I've studied through my nursing years, I studied dementia, and I know where it comes from. When the brain is overloaded with unresolved conflicts, your poor brain goes bzz, 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 and it starts to go haywire. And I don't know whether you can identify with that. When you can't see your way through problems and you worry and you worry and you worry, eventually that poor brain starts to fold up. And that's where dementia comes from. Dementia will pass you when the peace of God that passes understanding keeps your heart and mind. When you make God and His will first in your life, you will be kept clear in your mind. Because you've made God first in your life. So here is this beautiful description. Now, who is he? Who is he whom you are making first and last in your life? Who is he? Who is he? Stop to think who he is. Yeah? He's our creator. But let's read it now, especially when it says, don't worry about any of your needs. God will take care of that if you make him first. Let's go back to Psalm 50. And here is the one whom we are making first in our life and willing to submit to all his ways. Psalm 50, verse 10 onwards, 10 and 12, through to 12. Here God is speaking. This is the one. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills, these are all mine. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. If you make him your father, think what is yours. Not only is all the world his, all the universe is his. You look out into the stars and you go, wow, you know, all this is under God's control. What is impossible for him? Nothing. So, we were singing that hymn, weren't we? Let's just think of that first verse again. My father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. Just imagine yourself, children, imagine yourself being children of a millionaire, of a billionaire. Money would be of no consequence. You could just have whatever you wanted. No problems. Well, we are related to a father if we make him first in our life, who is richer than a billionaire, than a trillionaire. He owns everything. Let's read another quote in Haggai. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. So Haggai comes after Jonah, Micah, Nahum, and then Habakkuk, and then Zephaniah, and then comes Haggai. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. All the gold and the silver that might be mined from this earth, it's all his. You know, there's a story, the true story of someone who was a hitchhiker. He was a believer in God, and he was hitchhiking, and this person picked him up, and he was sitting there as they were driving through beautiful countryside. They came past these beautiful fields, and he said to the person that was driving us, he said, "See all those fields? They belong to my father." Oh, wow. And as I was driving along a bit further, and see all those hills there? They all belong to my father. And then they were driving along, and there was this beautiful river and running through very verdant growth. See all that? That belongs to my father. And this man says to him, "Wow, your father must be rich." He says, "He is, yeah. All this belongs to my father." But he said, "It doesn't make sense." He said, "Yes, it does, because God is my father. And it all belongs to him." God owns not only the earth, but the universe. So hear him in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Remember what he did for you in giving Jesus to you as an example. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How many things? Freely give us all things. Wow. So I'm a child of the King who owns everything. And he sacrificed his own son. He is giving us his own son. He's giving us the second person of the Godhead. And he's saying, I'm giving all heaven. I'm giving everything to you through him. I've been adopted to be a son of God together with Jesus. And all of us, sons and daughters of God, if we make the kingdom of heaven first in our life and his righteousness. Sons and daughters of God. Now look at how beautifully this is expressed. God is speaking here, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, reading there, verse 17 and 18. You see, we're reading things here, and people who are familiar with fairy tales, that's why many unbelievers say, "Oh, the Bible is a lot of fairy tales. Is this real?" No, it's not a fairy tale. I tell you, it's real. I stand here to testify of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Wherefore, now that's what he says, you are to make me first, aren't you? The kingdom of heaven. So instead of having concord and deep relationships with the people of the world who don't care about God, have relationship with me and those that are mine. Therefore, come out from among these others. Come out from among them. Make me first. And be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Remember what we read? Seek for him with all your heart. I will receive you. You will be found of me. And I will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We've got to take God's word seriously. I tell you, only he who takes God's word and makes that first in life, taking him seriously. Let this be the reality to you as it's become to me. Make it your choice to decide to do everything that God ever requires of you. Then there is relief from all burdens. There is perfect trust. There is a peace that passes your understanding. You can't understand it. It's a reality. Life here on earth then becomes what's written in Galatians 4, 1 to 7. Now, this is an important thing. My father is a trillionaire, more than that. He owns everything. But why aren't I free of difficulties? Why do I still have things going wrong on this earth? And why? Look at Jesus, the Son of God. What did he say? I have nowhere to lay my head. Why? Why did Jesus suffer here on earth? Why? Well, let's read it here. Galatians, right? I'm a child of the King. I'm royalty, but I'm living as a bit of a pauper. Wow. Let's read about it. Galatians chapter 4, 1 to 7. Now, remember, we are heirs together with God. That's written. Together with Christ, heirs of God. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. An heir of God through Christ. So I'm not a servant, but I am on this earth still living like the heir that is a child that is living like a servant. But he's being taught. He's being educated so that he can ultimately be lifted into the realm of the majesty of the universe. So while we are here on this earth, we've got Jesus as our example. He was the Son, but he had to go through all the experiences that he went through then to be elevated to the next to the Father. And what does Jesus say in Laodicea? If you will overcome as I overcame, you will sit with me in my throne. At the present time, you're still children like servants. So don't worry about anything. God will take care of you. It's just that you might go through difficulties and sometimes through discomforts and the cross-bearing as Jesus had to bear it. But that's fine. Take it joyfully. God is your Father. And you will be introduced into his throne right next to his Son. Let's go there to Matthew 25. This is a very interesting parable that Jesus gave to those who would be his disciples, and he would leave them here on this earth, go back to heaven, and then come again the second time. And what is his description in this parable of Matthew 25, 14 to 17. This is the kingdom of heaven that you make first in your life, right? For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So he started with 5 and he ended up with 10. And likewise, he that receiveth 2, he also gained other 2. So now he had 4. But he that had received the 1 went and digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Now notice what happens. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that hath received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You see, here on earth, if we are God's servants, children, we will be here on earth doing our work faithfully and multiplying the goods that God has given us, the talents, the capabilities. We will do that. And then when he comes again, he will take us home and sit us in his throne, because we have developed the capabilities of sons of God, sons of the King, royalty. We may be royalty here on earth, but we are still functioning as servants, multiplying our abilities so that we will, what we have gained here, we'll be using and living by in the heavenly realm. I won't go into the one who buried his, just apart from saying, the one who buried in the earth. There's much written about that. They are people who use their talents not for the multiplication for heaven, but to live on this world, live in this world and make this world their home. That's the man who placed his talent in the earth. So what have we gained? Have you gained what I have gained over the years? And as a servant of God, I'm sharing with you truths that have made a huge, big difference in my life. And I'm sharing with you things that today the Christian churches have missed out on in many ways. There are still God's people in the Christian churches, but what the Lord has delivered unto us in the Adventist message is what he has delivered for me, and I'm sharing the beautiful truths that make all the difference in my life. We are children of a King with infinite wealth. Infinite wealth. Infinite. Goes on and on. Let us trust him and remain loyal to him by making him and his will our priority. Everything I shared with you, let it become real to you, is my prayer. Amen.